To love something with your mind might seem like an oxymoron. You know, like jumbo shrimp or old news. Same difference. Love and mind are words that we don't typically associate together. We love something with our hearts. We think with our minds. The heart is the place for passion. The mind is the place for will and choice. In fact, we often think of love and mind to be at odds with each other, as if our passions need to be held in check by our will, or our minds need to be awakened and inspired by our hearts. But when Jesus told the disciples that we need to love God with all our mind, he meant what he said. So, no series on loving God with all we've got would be complete without figuring out how to love God with our minds. In fact, I think it's essential. And today, we want to make it practical. Think about it. There have, in fact, been times when you have loved something with your mind. You ever read a book or watched a film that was so provocative that you found yourself thinking about it for days after experiencing it? And that's happened to me. Like when I watched the film Contact in 1997, based on the work of cosmologist Carl Sagan. The film gave me profound insight into how faith and science could coexist within the human mind, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was a youth director at the time, and I even brought my teens to see it, and I remember having a really rich conversation with them afterwards. My mind had fallen in love with the idea of faith and science going together. Or have you ever encountered an idea that was so new, so enlightening, so invigorating that you found yourself wanting to learn more and more about the topic like a spelunker exploring a cave for the first time? Well, that happened to me nearly 25 years ago when I first heard the word Enneagram, a personality type indicator. I became so obsessed with learning about myself through the lens of the Enneagram that one night in December 1996, I went to the Barnes & Noble on Tyrone Boulevard in St. Petersburg and bought every book on the Enneagram I could find. I later took classes to learn more about it, eventually became certified to teach it. My mind fell in love with the Enneagram. And have you ever met someone that you found so interesting, so fascinating, that when you met them in person, spoke with them face to face, every other distraction fell away? It was like time was standing still, and you found yourself captivated by listening and being in this person's presence. It's happened to me many, many times. Back in 2009, I attended a week-long writing retreat with Eugene Peterson, the acclaimed author of The Message, along with many books on the Bible and spiritual life. For hours each day, I and about 10 other clergy and lay people listened to his reflections on writing and the pastoral life. I was captivated by his profound wisdom and his gentle demeanor. My time with him inspires and forms me as a writer and preacher even to this day. My mind fell in love with the experience of getting to know Eugene Peterson. You've probably had experiences like these, and there is nothing quite like it. To love something with your mind is not only possible, it's profoundly important, especially when it comes to the spiritual life. If you want examples in the Bible of what it means to love God with your mind, look no further than the writings of Paul, especially in the book of Romans. Paul was writing to a Greco-Roman world whose culture and philosophy was built on the power of the human mind. Paul knew the audiences he was addressing, and he chose to speak their language, the language of the mind. So if you look at his letters, you'll see influences, sometimes even word-for-word quotes lifted from some of the great Greek and Roman philosophers. Romans contains the influence of Plato. Parts of 1st and 2nd Corinthians echo the writings of Socrates. Some of Galatians sound a whole lot like Aristotle. Paul knew that he was writing to people who believed that the mind was the center of human existence. So many times throughout his letters, he would say that the key to spiritual transformation was a transformation of the mind. In Philippians 2, he said the key to obedience and humility was to, quote, let the mind of Christ be in you. In Philippians 4, he tells us that whatever is true, honorable, noble, just, praiseworthy, think on these things. In Colossians, he tells us to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And here, in today's scripture reading, he says it in the clearest and most concise way. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So how exactly are we supposed to love God with our minds? What does that mean? Well, I think the obvious place to start is to have a mind that is open to God. Think about those examples from earlier, reading a book or watching a film or learning a new idea or conversing with a friend. Those involve times of intentional focus, free from distraction, with a mind that is open. For many people, opening your mind to God means meditation. For others, it might mean simply going for a walk or exercising. The Greek philosopher Diogenes coined the phrase solvitur ambulando, which means it is solved by walking. Sometimes opening your mind to God can be as simple as taking a walk and listening for God's voice. And then, of course, there is prayer and reading the Bible and reading other spiritual inspirational material. I don't know any other way around loving God with our mind without doing those things on a regular basis. Through prayer and scriptural meditation and spiritual reading, we can gain those insights that captivate and compel us. The daily activity card for this Thursday, day 19, is to read a spiritual book. And if you're looking for authors to read, I would recommend Henri Nouwen, the late Rachel Held Evans, or my current favorite, John O'Donohue, whose works I referenced last week. My prayer for you is that your desire to love God with your mind will bring you some insight about God and the faith that will inspire you and motivate you and fill you with new meaning. But finally, I don't think it's possible to fully love God with our minds without embracing reason and intellect and the disciplines of science. My predecessor, Jim Harnish, used to say that when you arrive at this church and put your car into park, we don't expect you to shift your brain into neutral. God gave us brains and expects us to use them. God inspires the fields of science and expects us to discover the world through them. Any debate between the worlds of science and faith is conflict that we have created and not God. Albert Einstein once said that his pursuit of science was to, quote, get to know the mind of God. The rest are just details. Trusting science is not antithetical to belief or faith. The realm of science teaches us about the world that we can see. The realm of faith teaches us about the world that we cannot see, but is no less real. A world of beauty and love and reconciliation and the God who is the creator of it all. And I will share with you that when I discovered that truth, that faith and reason are not incompatible, it was a watershed moment in my spiritual life and has guided me ever since. It's one of those moments when I fell in love with God with all my mind. And that could only happen when I was able to name and embrace my doubts, which is the daily activity exercise for this Friday, day 20. One of my favorite quotes, one that I've shared with you many times, is by the spiritual author Anne Lamott, who said that the opposite of faith is not doubt, it is certainty. I think you and I have discovered in life that the people we should be most wary of are the ones who feel the most certain about their convictions. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having clarity about what one believes, and nothing at all wrong with having principles. But when certainty is taken to an extremity, it becomes a liability. It can even become harmful. At the end of today's scripture reading, Paul offers an important final word for us today. You cannot love God with all your mind without a spirit of humility. Quote, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." To love God with all your mind is to recognize the limits of your own understanding. That recognition should not discourage you or make you waver in your faith. Instead, it should kindle a sense of wonder, awe, curiosity, mystery. Every day can be a new beginning, a chance to discover something exciting about the world around you and the God who loves you. You can begin to see experiences as your teachers and other people as your guides. And most importantly, you can begin to see God in fresh and exciting ways. To close this sermon, I offer a prayer written by St. Anselm from the 12th century. It's titled, "Prayer for Those Searching for God," and it is my prayer for each of us. Let us pray. O Lord my God, teach my heart this day where and how to see you, where and how to find you. You have made me and remade me, and you have bestowed on me all the good things I possess, and still I do not know you. I have not yet done that for which I was made. Teach me to seek you, for I cannot seek you unless you teach me, or find you unless you show yourself to me. Let me seek you in my desire. Let me desire you in my seeking. Let me find you by loving you. Let me love you when I find you. In the name of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, and let all God's people say, Amen.